We are turning our attention this evening to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, and we'll look at verses 1 to 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. Was full of bones. And he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones. And say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. The breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel. You shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the grace that you have shown us. We thank you for being a God who speaks with this kind of power, speaks with a power to transform and enliven. Lord, would you help us as we look at this image, in many ways a disturbing image. Lord, would you help us to be able to put our hope in you as the one who makes your people alive through your word. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this day, our morning and our evening service has been a day of powerful and kind of unsettling images. You may have noticed this morning, I didn't really, play it up. But in that passage in Ephesians, it's very much saying you are dead, right? Dead people walking around. What do we call dead people walking around? Zombies, right? We had a message about zombies this morning. Didn't really emphasize that too much, but it is the image that Paul is using. And in the evening, we turn our attention to, I think, one of the most kind of graphic pictures of rebirth and renewal, resurrection in the Old Testament. prophet Ezekiel lands in a valley of dry bones. And just, you use your imagination. I mean, it's kind of a horrendous image. We don't know what deposited all these bones, but it seems like, you know, the site of a battle or something that hasn't really been cleaned up, just bones all over. Not really gore exactly, right? Because we're told they're dry bones. They've been there a long time. And God asks the prophet that question, "Son of man, can these bones live?" It's such a ridiculous question, isn't it? You know, can you revive these folks, Ezekiel? You know, could you do, you know, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation on a skeleton? Of course the answer is no, right? These are bones. They can't live again. But it seems that Ezekiel knows better than to say something like that to God. So he gives the wonderful response, "Oh Lord God, you know." And then God makes a ridiculous command to him. God says, "Prophesy over these bones. Tell them the word of the Lord." And God gives him the exact words. I think sometimes when I'm reading through that first section, up near verse 5, "Thus says the Lord God to these bones," I get the impression that that's him prophesying. No, that's God telling him what to prophesy. He gives the words to the prophet, says, "Say this exactly." And Ezekiel says it. He says the word of the Lord. It's not Ezekiel's words, it's God's words. I mean, imagine how that would feel. Just to be standing there speaking to bones. Once again, just pure silliness. I mean, there are no ears to hear what you're saying. Maybe Ezekiel was thinking, you know, God's trying to make some point to me here. You know, he's trying to teach me something as I speak to this valley of bones. Imagine he might have felt that way right up to the time that the bones start skittering around. Mentions there the sound. You can imagine it, can't you? The rattle of bones coming together. A terrible image, right? Skeletons kind of reassembling. This is something that you probably could do really well with special effects now, right? People being rebuilt. Bones coming together, then sinews, then flesh. I'm struck how they're done in stages, and it seems like it would get way worse before it got better. Finally, we get the skin, thank goodness. And even then, with an army standing there, still dead, no breath in them. What an eerie image. God calls him to prophesy again. Prophesy to the breath. Can you imagine the sound as the entire army draws breath into their lungs for the first time? Stand on their feet, an exceedingly great army. See how bizarre, wonderful, and unsettling an image this is. What does this mean? Well, wonderfully, God gives us the meaning as well. And I want us to look at just two things today, the meaning for the Israelites. We can praise God that he gave that to Ezekiel as well. And then I want us to think just a little bit about what this means for us. We see the meaning for the Israelites in really verses 11 to 14. Right? God is speaking to the Israelites who have been defeated by Babylon. Just a couple of weeks ago, we were looking at the book of Esther. And in Esther, we've had a change of kingdoms. We have Jews who are in the kingdom of Persia. And for them, life seems to be going relatively well. Now, we know that there are major challenges in Esther, right? Scary things, certainly. But the Jews we encounter there have been living pretty prosperous lives, having positions of responsibility. But remember, that's not the time period we're talking about. We're talking about the Israelites who had just been defeated by Babylon, had just been exiled from their homes, are facing total uncertainty, overwhelmed by the catastrophe that's just happened. They're disturbed by what looks like God's failure to keep his promise. They're disturbed by their own sin. Did we destroy this whole plan of salvation that God had been bringing together? We've been unfaithful. What hope do we have for the future? God says, left to yourself, I mean, you don't have any hope. He speaks of them as a pile of bones, spent and unclean and hopeless. The bones are the whole house of Israel. And God's response to them is not, you know what, you guys, you got this. Just work hard. Try to get it back together. You know, you guys can really do a lot here. No, God makes promises to his people. I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. I will bring you into the land of Israel. From this depth that they've fallen, the exile and despair, God says, I will preserve you. I will re-enliven you. I will restore you to the land and to the promise. Of course, that's not a promise that every individual Israelite will be preserved by God. Many of them died. Many would die in poverty and in exile. And yet God gives them this towering hope that they will be restored, that God will preserve. God's not done with them. He will deliver. And why will God do that? Does he do it because they deserve it? Now look at verse 13 again. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. God delivers his people so that they will know that he is the one who brings life. He is the one who delivers. That was God's goal from the beginning with his people. It was his goal for all the world. And God will accomplish it. That all will know that he's the one who saves. His glory and their good are tied together here. That's a wonderful image, for the people of Israel to hold on to in the midst of despair. Well, what does this mean for us? We are not part of the ancient people of Israel. We aren't receiving this as a promise that we will be returned to the land of Israel in some way. When we look at a passage like this, we are reminded again that God is a God who raises the dead. He makes incredible, unbelievable promises to his people. We can think of various times in the Old Testament that God does actually raise different individuals from the dead, raises various people through the work of Jesus, through the work of the prophets. He has the power to raise the dead. Here the image is used to talk about the preservation and restoration of the Jewish people. This morning, we use that same kind of image to communicate a spiritual truth. God raises people from the spiritual death. And recognize that's not just an Ephesians 2 sort of thing. We could look at others of the prophets, Jeremiah 31, right? God gives new hearts. He takes out the heart of stone and gives a heart of flesh. He makes spiritually alive. You were dead, and now you're alive. Now, some people might be tempted to say, well, yeah, but that's just a spiritual reality. Friends, there's nothing just about a spiritual reality. Spiritual reality is reality. And God is still a God who raises the dead. The Old Testament reveals that to us. That's the kind of God our God is. You can also see here that God restores his people through his Spirit and through his Word. You recognize in this account, God could have just, you know, snapped his fingers and all the bones come together and do their thing, right? He could just make them alive. But he chooses to do it through Ezekiel. The Spirit comes through the prophesying of Ezekiel. He uses means to accomplish this. Prophesy to these bones. And then God even gives them the words to say. You know, Ezekiel could have just said, you know, God, you could just say it. I mean, they're your words. But God intends to use his people to proclaim his word that will transform lives. God restores his people through the Spirit and through the Word. We recognize that this is how God continues to restore and enliven people. And as we dwell on that, that means something for us. It's a call for us to hold firmly to the Word of God. And there's a meaning there for our church. We're called to be a church that holds firmly to God's Word. To keep the proclamation of God's Word at the center of our gathering together. We might say that is the kind of thing a pastor would say, right? We got to keep the preaching of the word at the center. Recognize it's the kind of thing the Bible says, the kind of thing God says. Hold to the word, because it's through the word that we're made alive. It's a meaning, therefore, our spiritual disciplines. We are called to be people of the Word. Don't get tired of God's Word. So you're reading it yourself. Maybe you've made that a discipline for yourself to read some portion of God's Word. And maybe you get to a portion that you are so utterly familiar with. You know, I've read it 100 times before. And I don't seem to be getting a whole lot out of it. Friends, remind yourself that God has promised that he'll work in us through the word that he's given us. Stick to it. That doesn't mean that we're going to have some utterly life-changing experience every time we read a verse of God's word, but have confidence that God is forming you through his word. Certainly this has a meaning for our evangelism. We're speaking to those who are dead in their trespasses and sins. What is going to change a heart that is dead in trespasses and sins? It's not my, you know, really careful apologetic argument I came up with. I mean, that might be helpful. Maybe it will dispel some objection. But the thing that brings life is God's word. So proclaim his word. Doesn't necessarily mean just reading the Bible to someone. I mean, you have to preach a sermon at them if they, you know, have concerns or aren't believing. But recognize and be encouraged by the power of God's word. We can often feel like people are too far gone or it's not really that interested. We are called to recognize that God's word is powerful. It is effective. Sometimes we can feel like, well, I don't know enough to really interact with people on those topics. You know, they have questions that I can't really understand. I got to brush up on all my apologetics before I really have a conversation with someone who doesn't believe. I mean, what might come up? I might do more harm than good in a situation like that. Friends, I don't know if we can do more harm than good in a situation where the person's already dead. All we can bring is God's word. Trust in his spirit to make that word effective. God is a God who restores. And he does that through his spirit and his word. We have a wonderful image here. I think one of the most wonderful things in it to me, looking at this, is to be reminded that as we look at this story, we are not called primarily to identify with Ezekiel. I mean, the point of this, as it was being written to the Jewish people, was not mainly, you know, to the Israelites saying, you know, Israelites, you should be getting out there and prophesying. You know, be the next Ezekiel. That wasn't really the main point. Here, the Israelites were being told, you're the pile of bones, and God's the one who makes you alive through his spirit. As we look at this passage, as we look at Ephesians 2, may we be reminded of the work that God has done in our hearts. We'd be filled with thankfulness. Praise God for making me alive. May he help us to love the word that has transformed us. May he help us to love the one who's made us alive by his spirit. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this awesome image. We pray, Lord, that you would be working in our hearts, that you would help us when we are discouraged by the way many reject the message of God. Would you help us to be encouraged that you are a God who transforms lives, that brings life? Lord, would you help us to hold firmly to your word, and would you help us to rejoice in the work of our Savior. We thank you in Jesus' name.